We will join in singing hymn 139, verses 1 through 3. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, we don't know what words the innkeeper used to turn away the tired couple that had traveled so far. Those words may have been spoken rudely or with sad understanding. Perhaps there was nothing the innkeeper could have done to help. Perhaps with a little effort and imagination, a way could have been made to make room for the mother about to have her baby. However, no matter what words were used to turn away the exhausted family, the news was not inviting to the one soon to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. It's not just innkeepers in Bethlehem that seem to be lacking in hospitality when it comes to receiving the Lord of all creation. God finds the whole world, even his own people to whom the Savior was promised, not inviting. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It can happen to us too. Of course we celebrate his birthday at Christmas. Of course we use his name again in our holiday greetings. But often we have so little room for him in our me-first, care-crowded, thing-concerned hearts. We become so wrapped up in things like gift-giving and travel plans, the busyness of our studies, and trying to pay for our education expenses, that the doors of our hearts creep shut little by little. Almost without realizing it, we have hung a sign on the front door of our hearts, a sign that reads, "No room." It is worthwhile for us to meditate on this important difference between God and us. As the one wrapped in swaddling clothes, God chose to come into this non-inviting world so that he could invite us into his kingdom of grace and into the kingdom of glory in heaven and into the life of the world to come. In spite of the fact that we did not choose to invite our Lord into this world, we still have an inviting Savior. Given the inviting nature of our God, it is not surprising to find God that first Christmas sending out heavenly messengers with invitations to a birthday party. It appears God is not selective about whom he invites either. God even chose to send an invitation to a bunch of shepherds. Several ancient documents describe shepherds as a rather suspect lot in the days of the first Christmas. The reputation of shepherds was so poor that rabbis warned mamas not to let their babies grow up to be shepherds. The word of a shepherd was considered so worthless that the testimony of shepherds was barred from some courts. To do business with a shepherd, one risked being associated with the criminal element of society. No respectable person would ever invite a shepherd to a birthday party, but in inviting God did. Even shepherds are invited to that holy birthplace where God was encountered face to face as a babe in a manger. If you were raised in a church-going family, you probably participated in your share of children's Christmas pageants. Remember the tension of wondering what role you would get to play? Many guys hope to land the lead role of Joseph. Failing to land that role, you hope to be cast as one of the wise men. Did you get one of those roles? If not, you ended up with that remaining bunch of boys to whom the director pointed and said, "I guess you guys can be shepherds." Like many boys, if it were not for shepherds being mentioned in Luke 2, I never would have gotten a part to play in the Christmas story. I now gratefully see the truth that if God did not invite people such as the shepherds to come to that holy place in the presence of the one wrapped in swaddling clothes, a person like me would have never been offered a place in the great story of salvation. Thanks be to our inviting Savior, who still calls poor, miserable sinners like us into his presence where we can meet the God of our salvation. God invites each of us to come to those lowly places where Christ dwells to meet the Savior, where water is splashed in the name of the triune God, where God's forgiveness is proclaimed by a lowly preacher, on the pages of an ancient book, where the body and blood of our Savior comes to us, wrapped in swaddling clothes of bread and wine. This time of year, we receive a lot of invitations in the mail, but most of them are invitations to buy products we do not need or to enter promotional contests we don't want to waste our time on. Sorting through our stacks of mail, we will sometimes notice a small envelope addressed by hand with our name on it and know that it's an invitation or greeting from a friend or a loved one. We recognize it as an invitation to be opened, not one to be left unopened and thrown into the trash bin. How do we recognize an invitation that comes from God? The shepherds were busy about their normal work, expecting the normal fare of a normal day. They were not anxiously awaiting an invitation from God, but God graciously gave them an invitation in a form difficult to miss or dismiss. God's invitation to them included a choir of angels and a spectacular light show. Why can't we get obvious invitations from God? For some of us, the appearance of a choir of angels would raise more questions or fear than anything else. Had we been those shepherds, we might still be wondering if what we were really seeing was angels. But in inviting God sends us plenty of invitations through his messengers to each of us in his humble means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament. The season of Advent reminds us that with an inviting Savior coming into this world, we had best be on alert, watching for invitations that God sends. Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take and eat, take and drink, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The whole Advent and Christmas season is like one great angel chorus and light show for us. Some are transfixed by all this activity and are content to stay watching the lights and enjoying the sensations of Christmas. What must be remembered, however, is behind all the celebration of the season, there is an invitation to make our way to the one wrapped in swaddling clothes and to trust in him for our salvation. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Almighty God, Judge and King, when the time had fully come, you sent your Son, born of a virgin, for us and for our salvation. Come, Lord Jesus, with your grace to all the places of the world where people desperately need you. Come and give us the gift of yourself, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We will join in singing verses 4 and 5 of hymn 139.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.